ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Save big on your next project at Menards. Check out our huge selection of Richmond water heaters. Whether it's electric or gas, tank or tankless, Menards has what you need in stock. Ensure that you have hot water for when you need it most with a new Richmond water heater from Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards. Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA. Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited. Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Dree.
Because it's all anybody's talking about right now, we'll keep talking about it too. Mackenzie Schirillo was 17 when she drove a Toyota Camry into a brick building in Strongville, Ohio, at close to 100 miles an hour, killing her boyfriend Dominic Russo and their friend Davion Flanagan. The prosecution painted a controlling, image-obsessed young woman. The threatening texts, the TikTok persona, the volatility. Judge called her hell on wheels. But the loudest, most controlling behavior often comes from the most fragile of places. There's a lot of opinions out there online right now about Mackenzie Schirillo, about her family, about the judge, about everything involved in this case. And a lot of it making a lot of sense, a lot of it grounded in reality, some of it not really understanding human behavior and who people are and who they continue to be, and how sometimes a triggering event or a big event just doesn't really change a whole lot about somebody. Joining us to discuss and help us break down the Mackenzie Schirillo, the crash story, Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author. As always, thank you for being here and welcome. It's just you and me today. Robin is out. I've been really looking forward to diving into this because there's so many opinions that are out there on Mackenzie Schirillo. Before I start getting into kind of questions and thoughts and diving into different areas of this, the first area I want to get into is really the psychology of herself before we get into the relational ties that she has to everyone. What was your thoughts? You watched the documentary twice, just like I did. You watched it one time. You watched it a second time. What was your thoughts the first time you watched it? And the second time, maybe it was the same. You tell me.
Yeah, it was the same. I just wanted to go back the second. First, I kind of get my emotional gut reaction.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to go back and take specific notes about the clinical things. This would have been a wonderful documentary if I were still training new therapists and training interns, which I used to do. Mm-hmm. I would assign this as homework.
Yeah.
Because it's a very rich story, meaning there's so much information there that I think is really important and relevant. But yeah, my just initial take, which I still believe, we've got an emotionally dysregulated teenager with cluster B traits who acted impulsively in a moment of rage. I mean, basically a tantrum, mm-hmm. which goes with the kind of traits that I'll be talking about.
Let me ask you this. If you were assigning this as homework, what would you be wanting your students to be taking out of it?
Family dynamics, because when you're doing therapy, you've always got to look at family dynamics, personality qualities, that how they cluster and what they mean. And then, of course, with therapists, how the heck do you work with this? I think mm-hmm. it's a really, really good teaching opportunity for that.
Her whole public identity was really built around image. We saw that very clearly in this. It was someone who grew up with this as her sidekick from a very young age. And seemingly she got her validation from it through the lens of that camera, whether looking at herself and feeling good about herself or the comments she would get from other people. It was a TikTok persona, the way that she presented herself, the control. When you got somebody that has that level of self-obsession, and there's a lot of, you know, you look at people today, you look at young people today, you'd be hard pressed to find people who don't have a social media profile with probably what we would have classified as maybe 20 years ago, maybe an unhealthy level of self-interest, mm-hmm. the sheer amount of images that people take of themselves, mm-hmm. Posing in different ways, shapes, or forms. But there's people that take that and they still go even further mm-hmm. to an even more extreme level. When you're looking at Mackenzie Schirilla, when you're looking at that level of self-obsession that she seemed to present, what is it tell you about her actual self-esteem, the person behind the mask on TikTok?
You know, there's a lot of good evidence that narcissism is increasing since social media, the use of smartphones, the use of so much technology by kids, and we're seeing more and more narcissistic traits. Does that mm-hmm. mean that they've got a full narcissistic personality disorder? It doesn't mean that. But it means that their identity is being filtered through what do other people think of me? How do they view me? And so it disrupts the normal development of a sense of self. And that's definitely what I saw going on with her, is there's nothing under there. There's really nothing under there. And mm-hmm. and does she have career aspirations? Does she have values? Does she have a sense of integrity? Or is it all just about look at me, look at me, look at me? And that's what jumped out for me.
Is that, are we missing something here in society? I feel like we the pendulum has swung in the opposite direction of where it once was, where we came from a world, and maybe truly this is where we still are, but there's a big mask over it, of a lot of insecurity, a lot of all of that, of negative self-talk, of doubt, of all, and people have that. And there's a healthy level to have of that. I mean, you need positive to have negative and negative to have positive. But it feels like we went from this land of very low self-esteem to a land of insanely high self-esteem that's unfounded. And I don't even know if self-esteem is the right word. It feels more like delusion than it does mm-hmm. actual self-esteem, mm-hmm. this self-confidence. And as a parent, when you're looking at this and you're seeing this in children, I want to say, it may be somewhat easy for some parents to look at this and to go, look, well, I'm glad my kid is confident. I'm glad they're yeah. confident in their appearance and in how they're presenting themselves, because that's not at all how I was when I was a kid. That must be a good thing. This must mm-hmm. be a great thing, right? Mm-hmm. Not so much, right. because this is not that what they're thinking of, because these exactly. people are coming up in a completely different world than we came up in. So it's not apples to apples or apples to oranges. It's more like apples to Chevys or something. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not the same damn thing. Can you speak to that at all, of how different this is, how this is not self-confidence? This is something else entirely.
Yeah, it is the narcissistic sense of I'm special, mm-hmm. look at me. And it's not coming from that place of vulnerability or, as you say, low self-esteem. I think we still see a lot of kids with low self-esteem, the ones that are not stars, the mm-hmm. ones that aren't getting followers, the ones that aren't getting likes. And that can magnify their sense of inferiority, because they're comparing themselves to the Mackenzies, you know, who act like celebrities and royalty, mm-hmm. and they get all these followers. So I think we've got two paths, and both of them are problematic, and it's being fed by all this.
I mean, it was an interesting doc, some of the friends that were on there, they were talking, one of the friends who was backing her up quite a bit throughout it, talking about, she wanted to be a model like me. It's like, you're not a model. Like, You have a TikTok account. Right. Like, right. You're not a model in the sense. Maybe that's all being redefined as well. I don't know. But it's interesting, this almost like pseudo-celebrity persona that some of these young people think that they have. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like high school mm-hmm. on steroids. Mm-hmm. Because the attention is coming from not just within high school, it's coming from other places as well, online, predators who mm-hmm. like to look at children. You know, but a lot of these young girls think, oh, you know, the other women are looking at me, you know, jealous. No, they're just like, you bitch. But it's interesting, this it's such a delusional thought process, I guess, is what I'm trying to get to. It feels like the kids who are on this that were her friends, and they're young adults now too, everybody is operating from a place of delusion that does not really have a basis in reality for the roles and the lanes to which they are in real life.
Mm-hmm. Very much. And is the ultimate career aspiration to get on OnlyFans and make big money. And there are, unfortunately, a lot of kids who don't, you know, when I always try to talk with teenagers about values, you know, get clear on, you know, developing yourself and what's important in life and what direction do you want to go. And I think for a lot of these kids like Mackenzie, they don't even understand the word values. It's getting stuff. It's getting money and getting attention above all. And that's kind of scary for where we're going to be in 20 years in society.
No, it really is. There's and speaking of the way that she was being interpreted by some of her friends, there's an assumption that narcissistic, controlling people, they're operating from a place of confidence. And I think some of her friends thought that. They think they still do think that. Mm-hmm. In your experience of treating people, someone who's acting like Mackenzie, this is the opposite of confidence. I got the same thing you did. This is a shell of a human being. There's nothing underneath the hood.
Yeah. 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 There's nothing there. And we can actually move into, there's an interesting area that I was kind of surprised when I started taking notes because it really jumped out at me. The personality, now we can't diagnose a personality disorder in someone that we have not formally evaluated and gone through the checklist and all that, but we can comment on observable traits.
Yeah.
And there were certainly a lot of observable traits here that jumped out and were consistent. And personality is considered our stable pattern of perceiving, feeling, relating, and thinking and behaving across time. So when you look at a pattern, and we then define a personality disorder as when this is really not working for you, it's causing problems for you or for other people, and when it's significant and beyond what most of us see. So we've got three categories of personality disorders, A, B, and C in our diagnostic manual. A are people who are odd or eccentric, and I think we can put Brian Koberger in that category. Mm-hmm. The cluster B is dramatic or erratic, and these are the folks that cause big trouble. And I think we can say that we sure saw a lot of cluster B traits with Mackenzie. And then cluster C, people often don't know anything about this because they're not out causing trouble, but people who are incredibly anxious or fearful, that's cluster C. But as I went through the four personality disorders identified in cluster B, there were just certain things that jumped out at me. And these were the notes I took. So I want to go over them. The first one that jumped out was borderline.
Yep.
And that's the intense fear of abandonment, the emotional dysregulation. They can go from being in this terrific mood to being rageful. And they're really difficult in romantic relationships. That's when a lot of this comes out. They're very impulsive. And whenever their attachment is threatened, when they feel like I'm not getting the attachment I want from my partner, I'm not getting the attention I want, I'm not coming first, they can get rageful. And that can get very scary and dangerous. And I think that ties in. Now, the other one in cluster B, the narcissistic features, the entitlement, the lack of empathy, the belief that their needs and emotions come first. and they don't have empathy for other people. The next one, a big one, the antisocial features. And this this is akin to people who have psychopathic personality. The willingness to engage in dangerous, harmful behavior without sufficient regard for the rights and safety of others. Okay, that fits. We can certainly see that. And the last one is almost never talked about. It's poorly understood, but I think it's really, really relevant and important, is the histrionic personality. And this is the person who's attention seeking, who wants to be the center of the room, the light of the party, the one everybody's looking at. And they tend to be very loud, emotionally shallow, and really manipulate using their sexuality. So when we look at the four different personality disorders, and as I say, it doesn't mean that she would have fit full criteria for any one of them. We can't know. But she sure had features. She had traits of each one of those. And I think that's really significant clinically. And that's something that I would hope new therapists can kind of hone in on and look at, whoa, we've really got, it's not just one category. We've got traits from all four of these categories.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like she went to the Cluster B buffet and just filled up her plate with a little bit of everything. You know?
It's a good way to put it.
Like, yeah. I'll have a little more of this, a little more of that. Like, oh, goodness, you got a lot going on here in the borderline section. My God. But yeah, I mean, you're right. There was so much in all of this. When I was, and I'm looking at this and I'm going, okay, I mean, I was thinking the same sort of things. We look at her age, though, too. I want to bring that into this, because at the time, we're the documented part of this case that we're looking at. She's 16. She's 17. Yeah. I mean, I think some of the videos probably even go back a little bit before that. She's, you know, 15 to roughly 17 years old through most of the documented portion of the crash and the scene we're talking about. Obviously, it is true, you know, teenage girls, boys, everybody, you know, people go through their stages, their phases and all that. And naturally, people can be fairly narcissistic at those younger ages. She, you know, she takes the cake. She goes well beyond the normal level. But I also know, you know, it's not something that is very common or encouraged, or I don't know if you even can, diagnosing someone under 18 with borderline personality or insert disorder here. Usually isn't that usually a little bit older in life?
You nailed it. That's a perfect point. Yeah. We do not diagnose a personality disorder before age 18 just because of that. Personality is developing still. You will have a different brain at 25 than you have at 16, let's say. But you can certainly see emerging traits. And often in elementary school, you start seeing these traits. And when we pay attention to it is when it's out of the norm, when it's much more so than what you see with most kids. I mean, all high school love affairs can be intense and dramatic, and people can, you know, get very fall in mad love at 13, you know.
Yeah.
And so, of course, we do not tag somebody as borderline personality at 12 or 13 or even 15. But you can certainly say, whoa, we're seeing some emerging traits here, and we need to try to address this in therapy if we possibly can. Sometimes we can, sometimes we can't, because there's a biological component to a lot of this stuff too that's not always been recognized and understood until recently. Somebody asked a really good question in the chat. Can you be diagnosed with more than one personality disorder? Technically, you can. But very often, that's why we go with the cluster A, B, or C, because there's a lot of overlap in the disorders. And sometimes people don't meet the full criteria for just one, but they've got traits from each one. And so that's, you know, if you were writing a report, you would say cluster B traits. And maybe they do meet the full criteria. And you can meet the criteria for more than one. But a lot of times when we're not sure, or if it's a young person under 18, we may just say we see these traits emerging.
How does someone who clearly, very likely, obviously we can't diagnose, that likely has a, you know, like I said, the buffet of cluster B going on here. How, especially in a younger developing brain, how does marijuana use, psilocybin use, things of that nature, mushrooms, in case you're not familiar, how does that affect that type of personality? Obviously, Dad is big on weed. He was very clear about that. I use it myself, but I'm a grown-ass adult. I have a young daughter. I do not encourage it. I would not allow it for a young person.
And you're not driving down the freeway.
Yeah. And I'm not driving down the freeway making TikToks of the smoke coming. I'm in my bathroom at night before I go to bed, chilling out a little bit. So there's that. Dad doesn't seem to equate that there's a difference between himself and his 17-year-old daughter in terms of use and the effects. Okay. There is. There's a massive difference. Mm-hmm. Can you speak to that a little bit for everybody who's like, well, at least she's not drinking. I mean, at least she's, you know, she's alive right now, I guess, is the good thing that's going on, even though that may not be everyone's opinion. Let's talk about the effects there.
Well, any kind of substance in a kid that's already angry and impulsive is going to increase their impulsivity. You know, any substance doesn't matter what it is. If it's a mood altering substance, alcohol, it's not good for them, and you're going to see more erratic behavior. It shuts down the prefrontal cortex. They're not thinking clearly. They're just coming from their emotional brain, which is where you get tantrums and that kind of behavior, because they're not able to rein themselves in. But I think we don't fully understand the complex changes that happen in a developing brain from cannabis. We are seeing now, there's new research that's very good, very well done, that some younger people, if they have a genetic predisposition to psychosis, something like schizophrenia, that the cannabis can set it off. And that's very scary, because we don't know if they come back from that psychosis, and some of them don't. So that's newer research. Yes, we've traditionally looked at cannabis as something probably less harmful to the brain than alcohol is. But in a young person, the effects can be magnified, and it's not completely understood yet.
Yeah. And when you got everybody going there encouraging, hey, let's do a lot of reckless things while you're a young, reckless person, that doesn't really help anything. As cool dad as he wants to be, and now he has all the time in the world that he's unemployed to smoke it up at home and tell himself he's done nothing wrong while his daughter's in prison.
Exactly.
So, worked out well, didn't it, Dad? Yeah. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube as we continue the conversation. The links are in the description.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.